Cuban flag is flying in Washington, D.C. today for the first time in 54 years. It marks the reestablishment of diplomatic ties between the two countries and the reopening of embassies in both Havana and D.C.
Supporters of warmer relations say the move is long overdue and that the United States' approach to Cuba is a remnant of Cold War policies. Those who oppose the move criticize Cuba's record on human rights and say they'd like to see more political reform in that country first.
Some critics, like Florida Senator Marco Rubio, have Cuban backgrounds themselves, but one Wisconsin member of the Cuban exile community sees reason to celebrate. Ricardo Gonzalez moved to Miami from Cuba when he was 13 and has been advocating for closer relations for 40 years.
He's a former alderman of the city of Madison and the founder of the Madison Camagüey Sister City Program. Ricardo, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So first, your personal feelings today. You've been following this for a long time. This is personal to you, given your history. What do you think, seeing these embassies reopening today?
I think it's a very good step. In fact, it's a very needed step if we want to move forward toward normalization. This is not the end of the issue. In fact, this is only the beginning now that we have embassies in each other's countries and that we can sit down and begin to discuss and try to solve the many issues that separate both countries.
And this has been coming for a while. December was kind of a big turning point with the first announcements. Did that come out of nowhere for you?
That kind of got me by surprise. I thought I knew what was happening a little bit, you know, but the announcement on the 17th of December, I think, took everyone by surprise. And it was a victory both for U.S. diplomacy and for Cuban diplomacy.
So why did you start getting involved in advocating for this warming of relations decades ago?
Well, when I was a college student, I took a special interest in studying U.S.-Cuba relations. And it was obvious to me after reading up several books that the issue between Cuba and the United States went back a lot longer than just the revolution of 1959, that what we were dealing with really was the end result of a policy of interference on the part of the United States going back to the early part of the 19th century when the United States set its eyes on Cuba and decided that Cuba must be ours and that Cuba had to be part of the American Republic of the American nation without any regard really to what the Cubans thought about that. And I think the stage was set certainly after our intervention in Cuba in 1898 to for the Cuban Revolution that came in 1959. So what we have to learn now is from that history. It's very important that we do not repeat the same mistakes, that we recognize that this time around, we're dealing with a sovereign Cuba, that the battle of this revolution over 54 years has been for Cuban sovereignty. And if we want real, honest, and stable relations with the nation of Cuba, we must recognize that Cuba is a sovereign nation, and it will do what it will do.
Can you tell us the story of your move to the United States from Cuba?
Well, that was back in 1960. At that time, the rumor going around in the island was that children under 16 were going to be taken away from their parents and sent to Russia for indoctrination. So obviously, my parents, along with many others, were alarmed by this and decided to send their kids out of Cuba. Even though I was not part of that Peter Pan project, the efforts that followed came to be known as the Peter Pan project, in which many Cuban parents sent their kids to the United States unaccompanied, and those kids, 14,000 of them, many of them never saw their parents again. This happened between 1960 and 1962. Luckily, I was able to come with my father. And he then left us, me and my brother, in the home of an uncle there in Miami. And then he returned to Cuba. So I missed that process that the Peter Pan kids went through.
And your brother, I understand, was involved in the Bay of Pigs invasion.
My oldest brother, yes. He fought at the Bay of Pigs He was one of the members of the Brigade 2506, and he spent 20 months in jail there in Havana afterwards until 1962, when President John F. Kennedy arranged for the release of the prisoners in an exchange for food and medicine.
Talking to Ricardo Gonzalez, founder of the Madison Camagüey Cuba Sister City Program, about thawing relations between the U.S. and Cuba. Coming back to the present day, Ricardo, we mentioned a lot of people in the U.S., a lot of Cuban Americans still, including those in politics, say we're doing this backwards. We shouldn't be thawing relations until Cuba opens up its government, reforms its government, changes some human rights policies. Do you think there's something to that? Do you think things need to change within Cuba as well as between Cuba and the United States?
Well, but those political issues inside Cuba are a matter for the Cubans to resolve. We cannot impose preconditions like that on Cuba because they don't make any sense. That has been the problem all along. We don't impose those conditions on Saudi Arabia, for instance, or Egypt, or China, or Vietnam, and we have relations with those countries. So the question here is that what are we going to do to move forward? We have had a policy of embargo and isolation on Cuba for 54 years, and it has failed terribly. The majority of Americans want this change. The overwhelming majority of the Cuban people support this new policy. It is time for a change, and President Obama is on the right track, and this is long overdue.
And you mentioned this being a starting point and the trade embargo. Do you think we're going to see a change in that embargo anytime soon?
Well, I certainly hope so. There are several pieces of legislation now making the rounds in the Congress, and we hope that these will be taken up soon and that they will be voted in the affirmative. But as you know, the Congress is now in the under the control of the Republican Party, and the Republicans are somewhat wedded to the views of what they consider to be the dominant view of Cuban Americans in Miami, which is no longer true. Even the majority of Cubans in the Miami area support an end to the embargo, support open travel and family relationships in Cuba.
You've been working with the Sister City Project here in Wisconsin, there in Cuba. What changes now in this thing you've been working on for so long?
Well, it enables us to visit there more regularly without so many regulations. Although, to be sure, the embargo prohibits tourist travel to Cuba. So in order to go to Cuba, you have to have an organized program. You have to go through a certain process, and it's not that easy, and it's expensive as well. So if you want to visit Cuba, you have to go with some organization that has a plan, educational program, a humanitarian program, an academic program, something along those lines. So what this will mean now is that it'll just make it easier to go, but not quite open yet.
There's been thought that opening up trade contacts, more visiting to Cuba, might make some of the positive changes that the embargo was aimed to do, reforming government, opening things up. There's also concern that a flood of investment or tourism from the U.S. could overwhelm the unique things about Cuban culture. What are your worries and hopes there?
Well, that is true, especially in the city of Havana, which is by default, in a way, has maintained its look and its attitudes from the 50s in many ways. You know, those old cars, the old buildings, they have survived the last 50 years, where every other big city in the world has seen tremendous changes, tremendous development. But I think all of that will be taken in stride. And things are not going to change that fast. It'll take a while. And we need to get used to that. This is not going to happen overnight. But change is definitely in the way.
Ricardo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Ricardo Gonzalez, founder of the Madison Camagüey Sister City Program, former alderman of the city of Madison. He moved to the U.S. from Cuba when he was 13. We've been talking about the reestablishment of diplomatic ties between the two countries today after more than 50 years.